Detroit Today.
I'm Ryan Patrick Hooper. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. As the most recent COVID wave dies down in America and in Detroit, more venues are continuing to open up. One of them is the opera. The local opera theater here in Detroit is opening up with its first main stage production since the pandemic, but with a few changes. It is now called Detroit Opera rather than the Michigan Opera Theater, and they will be opening April 2nd with La Boheme, but in a very different style than is typically portrayed in the show. And if you don't even know what an opera is or what that production is, we're going to ask some stupid questions for smart people right now, because we're joined by Yuval Sharon. He is the artistic director of the Detroit Opera. Welcome to Detroit Today.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here.
So that's the first big thing we have to break down, this name change. Mm. Michigan Opera Theater. We've known this for a long time. And that recently changed just a few weeks ago, not too long ago.
Yeah.
Why the name change to Detroit Opera?
I think in many ways the name Detroit Opera feels like that's already what the company has been since 1996, when the company was rooted in downtown Detroit. I mean, that was a really bold move of this company to say a city like Detroit deserves to have its own opera company, not anywhere else but in the heart of Detroit. And, you know, that was an incredible achievement by David DiChiara, the founder of Michigan Opera Theater. But we are entering a new era now. As we all know, there are huge shifts in our culture. And the art that this city, I think, deserves needs to be absolutely for the city of Detroit. And that needs to be the first and foremost thing that we say about ourselves, that this is art for our community. And that name change, while it seems in a way slight, I think does signal that from now on, every single thing that we do is going to hold up our own communities. Ideally, our community sees themselves reflected on our stage, whether it's an opera that's 200 years old or an opera that's 2 years old. You know, in every single case, we have the chance to feature the art and the talent of the singers, the designers that make Detroit so vibrant and so exciting.
This is also, you know, for you as the new artistic director, is it about putting your stamp a bit on this organization and marking an arrival to some degree?
No, really not. I have to say, because, you know, it's not about me. It's about the art, and it's about the city. It's about the culture. My time will be limited for some reason, you know, whether it's because of an untimely death, I hope not, because, you know, there could be any reason why.
That would,
you know,
be a terrible exclusive right now.
That would be, yes, I don't want that to happen. I prefer to make it to opening night of Boheme.
Okay,
so,
good.
But that's just a way to say, you know, all of us, you know, we're committed and devoted to the art form and what the art form can mean for the city. It transcends any single person. That's what makes it exciting. That's what makes opera, especially for people who don't know anything about opera, it's what I think makes opera so vital and so electrifying, is it's all of these different people that are working together beyond their own ego, beyond themselves, to create something together. You know, the word opera in Italian, it just means work. You know, like a work. Because what do you call this weird thing? You know, you have music, you have poetry, you have theater, you have fashion, you have all of these different art forms, and they meet in this middle place. Like, what do you call that? You just have to call it a work, you know, because what else could it be, you know? And I love that notion that it is definitely more than the sum of its parts. You know, you can take the individual pieces away. Yeah, I like the music. Yeah, I love the costumes, whatever. But that in that section where that intersection of all those different arts is super exciting. And that's why I want to lead with that ethos, that it's in the end not about me, it's about us.
You mentioned that name change to Detroit Opera, connecting with the community more. It feels like there's a greater sense of ownership with that title, but also the aspect of accessibility. You know,
yes.
I think of classical music. I think of what the Detroit Symphony Orchestra is doing. They acknowledge that getting younger people, a more diversified audience, is a priority and a challenge. Does opera have those same challenges right now in terms of making it more accessible, welcoming a more diverse audience into the patronage?
I think there are a lot of challenges with opera. I think most people would recognize that, whether they are opera lovers or whether they've only heard about opera. Most likely, if you've only ever heard about opera, you might think, that's probably not for me. I don't speak Italian. You know, I didn't go to music school. You know, I don't play an instrument. My real belief is that opera is for everybody, that you don't need a music degree. You don't need a lot of pre-existing knowledge to actually appreciate what's happening in front of you, because if you're invited in, then I think you can just be absolutely awestruck by the beauty of the human voice and by human creation, especially at that scale of opera. That's part of what makes opera so exciting, is it's just so large. You know, it's so audacious in its scale. So I think any way that I can signal, and that Detroit Opera can signal, that there's no barrier for anybody to actually connect with these operas, and looking for every opportunity possible to break down those barriers. There are big cultural obstacles with the word opera, you know, and with the notion of opera, especially as we think of it as a European art form. But that's why, going back to the name change, there's no reason we shouldn't think of opera as a Detroit art form. You know, it is our art form, and we're making it ours.
It is surprising to me the amount of musical diversity that's within mm-hmm. contemporary opera. Mm-hmm. I recently saw Toshi Reagan's take of Parable of the Sower, yeah. Originally by Octavia E. Butler, mm-hmm. and it was bluesy. Yeah. I mean, the music was all bluesy. It was not what you would think of, or what I would think of as an opera. So there is more diversity than basically just 200-year-old Italian productions that Absolutely. Are happening on stage.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. You know, I couldn't agree more that there's so many different, especially when you're thinking about American operas, there's so many different perspectives and musical styles that I think opera can integrate. So La Boheme, which we'll do this opening on Saturday, you know, that is, you know, classic 19th century Italian opera, and we're doing it with a twist, which we'll get to, I'm guessing. But after that, I'm really excited that the next project we do after that is the opera X, The Life and Times of Malcolm X by Anthony Davis, who prior to this opera, he wrote it in 1986. Prior to this, he was a jazz pianist. He's still an accomplished, amazing pianist. But this was his first attempt at writing an opera. And he was so uncompromising in the writing of this piece. It has all the whole spectrum of musical styles, from jazz and blues to high modernism to absolutely operatic singing to a huge range. And instead of it just feeling like a stylistic grab bag, he makes it all feel so unified. And that's what's miraculous about this score.
Let's talk about La Boheme, which is opening this weekend at Detroit Opera. Real quickly, give me the background on this story, the importance of this production, but also how you're going to be changing it up a little bit.
Yeah, so La Boheme was the first fully staged opera in the Detroit Opera House when it opened in 1996. So, of course, after a 2.5-year hiatus, it's really moving to come back and do La Boheme again. But I think it's an important moment to say we're not just repeating and we're not just regurgitating the past. We're going to show that we have also been evolving. We've been questioning our past. We've been looking at it differently and trying to see what else is buried underneath the many, many decades of prejudices about the piece, and maybe some might say cliches about the piece. Trying to take a lot of those away, so that we can see what's really happening in this miraculous score, this incredible piece. So we're doing it in reverse order. We're going to start at the end of the opera. The main story is really boy meets girl, and then girl dies. I mean, it's a very simple story. So, and I joke about that, because that does not sound like, you know, why are you in a theater for an hour and a half if that's all that happens? But it's really so much about atmosphere and color and the creation of the evocation of what it means to be young and in love and falling in love for the first time, which everyone can connect to and everyone can relate to. It's part of why La Boheme is the most popular opera. That said, there's something really exciting about saying, you know, we're gonna question the normal way of doing things. Let's start with the death, because in many ways it feels like we are emerging from a time of death. You know, this period, this 2.5-year period of COVID, and everything accompanying COVID. Whether you look at the reckoning with race, whether you look at the war in Ukraine, this has been a very, very dark period. I think I was hoping that when we got to this point, April 2022, that we'd be completely emerged from it. Obviously, we're not. You know, we're still facing COVID, and we're still facing a number of these items. But the arts and music and performance can remind us why we're living in the first place. We all know death is coming to us, but why do we live? You know, and was life worth it? And I think by saying we're just gonna do the death right away, and then go backwards and show that actually this moment where they fell in love, we should all be so lucky to have experienced that once in our lives. And that to me feels so life affirming. Exactly the kind of affirmation of life that I think is the reason people go to the opera or people go to music or go to live performance at all.
Okay, you're selling some tickets here, Yuval. Nice work. Is it just a matter of switching the acts, or is it a little more rearranged than that? Because, you know, you're making it sound very simple, but I would imagine more goes into it.
Yeah, in many ways, it's a very, very simple, which I hope is part of what makes it so inviting. You don't need to have studied up on La Boheme to just come and enjoy it. It would be the same as, you know, some of the best TV shows I watched during the pandemic where you couldn't do anything. You know, they told stories out of order. You know, they would do a bunch of reverse chronology as kind of the naming for it, which is the mystery behind, okay, well, we know that happened, but how did they get there? You know, I watched all the Ozark series, you know, during pandemic. It was very depressing because it's a very heavy and violent show. Nevertheless, I just loved the episodes where they went back in time and they said, oh, that's why that happened. And it was very rewarding as an audience member. And it's fun to think that, you know, we can add a sense of mystery to the occasion of this opera. But more importantly, we get to hear the music totally differently. So if you are an opera fan, or even if you're not an opera fan, but you know La Boheme from Moonstruck or from any other place where if you've seen Rent, you know, or there's, you know, La Boheme has appeared everywhere in popular culture. This is a brand new chance to hear it with fresh ears.
That's Yuval Sharon. He is the artistic director of Detroit Opera. And La Boheme will be staged this weekend. You can find information over at the Detroit Opera website. Yuval, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
That is Detroit Today. I'm Ryan Patrick Hooper. Thank you so much for joining us here on WDET-FM, Detroit's NPR station. Your connection to news, music, and conversation. Detroit Today is produced by Jake Neer and Sam Corey, who is especially helpful today. Program director is Joan Isabella, technical director, engineer, and resident metal man, Matthew Trevethan.